I want to talk tonight about choices. Choices we make, choices in our lives, choices that sometimes have long-lasting effects on us, and some choices that we make are only little, some choices are big. There's a little bit in, if you've got a Bible, if you want to turn to Deuteronomy, that's book number 5 of the Bible. We don't often get that far back, but we've gone there. And chapter 30... And this is what it says. This is Moses writing it down. But I think this statement stands today as it did then. And this is what it said. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you. But I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. So Moses is writing this down. He's saying that I'm calling heaven and earth as witnesses because I'm putting before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, I know under the new covenant, we're not under the curses, but we're still under death. Because at some point, unless Jesus returns, we're all going to go to that little box and take that journey either to the ground or into the fire, whichever way it goes for us. I says to mine, throw me on top at compost heap, but you can't do that legally, so just one of them things. But it's saying, I put before you life and death, blessings and curses, and he says, choose life. Now, it seems so simple to choose life, but sometimes it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. Sometimes when we're given a choice, we can choose something or that's called life, or choose something that's death. And you can set death on fire, and some people will still choose death. And the interesting thing is that if you tell people to choose life, they choose death because they're rebellious. And if you leave it to them, they go, well, you never told me, and take death anyway. It's kind of bizarre because you can't do anything with people's decision. It's one of the God-given things that every one of us was given, is the ability to make choices. Good choices, bad choices. It's your choice. I've said this before. There's making good choices, which is good, making bad choices, which is bad, but even worse than making a bad choice is making no choice. Because sometimes you can make a bad choice, but if you stick at it long enough, it'll turn into a good choice. But you've got to work those things through. So he says, I want you to choose life. And that's my cry to everybody, that we choose life. Now you're saying to me, Johnny, I've already got life. I'm alive. I'm here. But Jesus wants us to have life and life to the full. He doesn't want us to be just existing. He wants us to have an amazing life. He wants us to choose life, not choose just an existence. John chapter 1, it says this, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Jesus is the one thing that holds everything together. Scientists don't know what stops a neutron and a proton spinning around each other, spinning out into infinity. They don't know what keeps atoms together. They say it's electricity, they say it's this. They're not quite sure, they're still trying to work on it. The Bible tells us that God, that Jesus, holds everything together. He's holding you together, he's holding me together, and it's interesting that he holds everything else together. So that song, he's got the whole world in his hand, he literally has. He's holding us all together. But it continues. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came, let's talk about Jesus. He came to that which was his own. That's the Jews, Israel. But his own did not receive him. Yet, to all those who received him, he can change that word receive there to all those who choose him, who make a choice, who choose him. He gave them, to those that believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. And then it continues a little bit. Children not born of natural descent or a human decision or an husband's will, but born from of God. See, sometimes we can choose to have kids, and sometimes that's a choice, sometimes it just happens. But to become a believer in God, we've got to choose God. You see, I came to a point in my life, and I know many of you did, when I had a decision to make. Do I choose God in Jesus, or do I not? You see, for me, it was a simple, either I chose him or I didn't. I had a friend years ago, and I'd been talking to him about Jesus. We'd been witnessing to him. He'd seen the changes in my life, and he was kind of excited and yet concerned. He says, I'm a bit worried about you because you seem to have gone all religious. But I said, did you like the person I used to be? He says, not really. So I'm better now. He said, yes, but. And I talked to him, and he says to me, Johnny, I don't really believe in this God. So I said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God really shows himself to you. And in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to come back and I'm going to see you. So I started praying for him every day, every morning, every evening. After about 10 days, he rung me up. He says, stop praying for me. I goes, okay, what's happened? He says, I don't want to talk about it. So I went around to see him at like an only would after a few more days. And I said, what's happened? He didn't want to talk about it. And even to this day, he will not talk about it to me. All he said is, I know God exists, but I want to do my own thing. I said, that's sad, that, because when I die and I stand before God, he'll say to me his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll look down there and there I am, smiling away if it's a photo or whatever. I'm there. I said, but for you, the look down. And he said, I know that my decision is going to send me to hell. I goes, what's wrong with you? So I made a good decision. He's made a bad decision because he's rejected Jesus. But even worse than that is those people who make no decision. Because they'll stand before God thinking, I'm being a good person. I've done this, I've done that, I've been all right. But if the name's not there on the list, you're not coming in. It's like getting, you know, all these angels were standing there like bouncers at the door. Your name's not on the list, mate, you're not coming in. Out you go. And he says there'll be great weeping. Because some people will be kicked out of heaven knowing that they rejected Jesus. Yet there'll be other people thrown out of heaven because they never chose Jesus. Yet everybody will be given that choice. Every one of them will be given a choice to choose life or to choose death. Now, ever since the beginning, right back, go back a bit more, and you get to a point where there's one chap on his own in a garden with his missus. And God said to Adam, when he created him, he said, you can eat from every tree you want, any tree you want. Loads of trees. I think there were hundreds of trees, all fruit trees, amazing, loads of them. And he said, you can eat from any of them except for this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you eat of it, you'll die. And all these other trees, the one tree called the tree of life. So on one side of the garden, you've got the tree of life. And on the other side of the garden, you've got the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam lived his life between two trees. And one day his wife noticed the other tree, because Adam's stupid. Well, let's face it, most men, we can lose our keys when we're on the side. And we're still going to ask our wives where they're at. They're on the side. Which side? On the side. I don't think Adam noticed the tree. I think Eve did first. Well, we can read that anyway. But it's Adam's responsibility to sort that one out. But we live our lives between two trees. On the one hand, God says, choose life. But sometimes we choose our earthly wisdom. He says, choose life and trust in me. And yet sometimes we try to work it out for ourselves. And how many of you know that when you try and work it out for yourself, it often leads to trouble? I've realized in my own life, after the short time I've been here, I'm only 26, rough paper round, bad childhood. I'd hope when I were really small, Jo's got herself a real young lad, so I'm all right. No. But I've realized this over time, that most of my problems and troubles have occurred in my life because of my choices. Not because of some other people's. We blame other people, but often it's our choices. And sometimes if you're honest enough and look at your own life, if you really get down to it, you'll realize that your choices are steering your life. And sometimes it doesn't matter who says good advice to you, you still make your own decisions. Sometimes it's because we feel something. Sometimes it's because we just want something. But we all got choices to make, and we've all got good choices or bad choices. Now, sometimes there's big choices. Big choice. Who do you marry? If you're married, you can't have that choice anymore. That's tough. You've got over it. But do you want to get married? Do you not want to get married? Another big choice is, what house do you live in? Do you live in a big house, little house? Can you afford it? Can you not? Other choices are not so big. Your career. You can have one career and then change your mind, have another career. Going to church. You can go to one church, go to another church, make a choice, decide which church you like. I'd always say get planted and rooted in a church. But there's other decisions that are quite small ones that almost seem insignificant, little ones. Tiny little ones that don't matter much. You know, having a choice of eating a piece of cake with your cup of tea is not a big deal, is it? Is it? No. It's not a big deal. Unless you choose to have another piece of cake the next day. And then another piece of cake. And a little choice each day can make 3 or 4 or 5 stone on you later on. I'm doing all right, mate. I've put 2 stone on in 23 years. There is a 6-pack still under here. It just gets cold, so I've wrapped it up a little bit. And I know we're people of faith, so I have faith and just believe. You know what I mean? I've actually got a photograph that I looked good. You know what I mean? I think, anyway. Well, I think I did. But we've all got choices to make. But if you can make a little choice every day that's a bad choice, that might not seem a bad choice, it can lead you into a place where you're in trouble. But then again, you can make a choice. It's a good choice. You can choose to read your Bible a chapter a day. But we can't be bothered, because does it really matter? I'm talking to you guys. I know you do. But for some people, just reading one chapter a day is too much effort. And yet, if we read the Bible every day, it will have an effect on our life that will change us and set the path of our life on a good course. If you ever go to doctors because you've got an infection or something like that, you've got something, you need antibiotics, you don't just go home and take 2. And then go to the doctor and say, didn't work. Doctors say, did he finish the course? Did he take them all? Well, I took a couple. I had a few days and I took another one. But it's not worked. You see, the Bible says that we should read the Bible every day. Not just read it, but meditate on it. Think about it. Ponder it through. It's a choice to make. You see, Adam lived between two trees in the garden, and we live between two truths. The tree of life is God calling us forward to him, but we've got our own knowledge and our own experience and our own feelings that are drawing us. But if we follow our own way of doing things, it can lead to trouble. The Bible says this, that we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own ways. Even as Christians, sometimes we do that. God says, I just want you to keep going for me. And we think, it's boring. It's boring. Have you ever read through people's lives in the Bible? It is amazing. I mean, Abraham, you read the stories about Abraham, you think, what a guy. But you only about 5% of Abraham's life is written in the Bible. So Abraham spent most of his life just doing everyday things. Getting up, sorting the family out, sorting the cattle out, sorting out other issues and problems. And he's one of the greatest men of God in the Bible. David, there's not much. I mean, we read a lot about him, but really it's not that much. Even Jesus, we only get 10% of his life. Because we just have to carry on making good choices. You know, it's easy. I've got to be careful here. The best testimonies I like. The best testimonies. And I've heard loads. I've heard of the bank robbers. I've got a friend who was a bank robber, become a Christian, is saved, going for God. He don't do that sort of thing anymore. But I said, if you do, I'll pray for you if you tithe. You know what I mean? But he don't do it anymore. I've got a friend who murdered somebody, who became a Christian in prison. I've known drug addicts, and I've known prostitutes get saved. I've known the down and outs. I've known everybody. You know, different standards in life. But the best testimony to me is the one that got who makes wise choices every day, who grows up under the hand of God making a good decision every day. Because it's easy to make a stupid decision and then go, oh, God will sort it out for me, instead of making, no, I'm going to make a good decision even if it's hard. It's easy to go with the flow and get into trouble. It's hard to make good choices every day. It's easy just to carry on in the crowd. It's hard to say, no, I'm different. God's hand is on my life and I'm going to make the best choice I can. It's easy to be embarrassed when people look at you and fit in. When God never called us to fit in, he didn't call us to be weird, by the way. He didn't call us to fit in with society. He called us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, not to conform to a pattern of this world, but to allow God's word to transform us and change us. And it's a little by little making wise choices. I praise God for the drug addict. I praise who got saved, and the prostitute, and the bank robber, and the murderer, and everybody else that's got saved. I praise God for that, but I praise God for the people who's had the tenacity and the will and the strength to keep going day by day, little by little. Because theirs is not the great testimony that's advertised and got the book selling, but theirs is a greater testimony. Somebody's looking very confused. Anybody can make stupid mistakes, stupid choices day after day, day after day. But God says, I'm looking for people who make good choices. And I've done my 10,000 steps. It's vibrating now. So I'm all right. You know what I mean? So I'm all right. Everyone's getting this Fitbit thing. So get them rattling. Get them going. But God wants us to make wise choices. That's why I put that on. So I can see what I'm up to. Because when I used to be a builder, I was making wise choices because I could eat the fatty food, my big sausage sandwich and my eggs and bacon, and I'd burn it off in the afternoon. But I'm not doing that anymore. That's why it's getting wrapped up. I'm butchering that bacon. So I've got to make wise choices. You see, there's a famous verse in the Bible that we're all familiar with, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But the next verse says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, God is not in the business of trying to smack people around the head by a 2x4. That's a pastor's job, okay? I'm only joking. I use snooker cues. They're easier to carry. God's not in that business. God's into loving. But he's not going to force himself upon you. He's not going to get you, you know, suddenly to say, right, that's it, I've had it. He wants you to make a willing choice for him. A willing choice. Everybody in the Bible that we read about, they had to make wise choices. If you read Hebrews 11, it's got a load of people, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. You could say this, by faith, they made a good choice. By faith, they made a good choice. And they stood on that choice. And we've all got choices to make, things to choose. Do we do what's right in God's eyes or what the world says? Do we do what's right according to the word of God or what I feel? Which is the choice we're going to make? And guys, we'll always, sometimes, maybe, or maybe it might be me, I'll mess up. But I'm still going to make the right choices sometimes. You see, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It's death. It's death even to Christians. And I don't mean death between us and God, because Jesus died on the cross. He saved us. He's washed us clean. He's forgiven all our sins. He's put us in the right place. But how many know if you steal from a shop, it's going to kill your relationship with that shopkeeper, because he won't let you back in the shop or whatever it might be. It destroys relationships, is sin. It has consequences. But that verse continues. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God's gift to us is not just a free will to choose, but he wants to give us life, and not just physical life, where we think we can do everything and we can enjoy. I'm amazed now, looking back at my life, the stupidity of what I thought life was. And yet to realize how amazing God is. You know, we're told that as you get older, you get wiser. And that's so true. And yet we often look back with great regret. I'm talking to a lady, and she is struggling in her life. She says, because I made some real bad choices. And we didn't get into it. I prayed for her. I gave her a word from God that she started blubbering. There's snot and tears everywhere. She's not a good place for me to be. It's like, quickly give me a woman, you know, to hug her. You know what I mean? It's like, you know. But she were a mess. And she turned around and says, and I just says, you know, you can't keep looking back. You've got to look forward. And she says, there's no I can do anyway. My mum's dead. And she just erupted. So something had happened in her life between her and her mum, and she was living in regret and remorse of something she couldn't do anything because of a choice she'd made. Now, she didn't tell me what it was. She just said, I made a stupid choice. Almost she made it sound like she made one choice that totally changed her life. You know, if you made a real, really silly choice that took you into a blind alley, a dead end, or completely off, That's bad, but the worst thing is to keep going. It's another one for men, isn't it? We drive down the road, we get lost. We don't ask people. See, I'm all right, mate. I'm a good map reader. I can find anywhere, well, almost anywhere. And if I've got sat nav or not, it don't matter to me. I know where the sun is and I can roughly find out where I'm going. But the truth is, most men don't ask for directions, don't ask for help. The worst thing, though, as a person, as people, is that when you have made a bad choice, that you keep pushing on that bad choice. Because pride rises up. Because what are people going to think? Somebody starts dating, I say, they're not a good person. But they made a choice, and they've got to live with it. We all make sometimes choices. I heard of a guy that got offered a great promotion, but he said this afterwards. He said he got offered a great promotion, but he had to move. And something inside him said, it's not a good choice, but the money were good. End of the day, more money means happiness. More money means more opportunities. So he took the job. He moved his family, his wife, his kids. They left the church. 3 years later, they eventually moved back to the area because in 3 years, they'd hardly been to church because they couldn't find a church. The kids were just running wild and going mental. Beforehand, they were quite, you know, nice kids and everything were happy. His marriage between him and his wife was super strained, and he ended up packing in his job and moving back so at least he could go back to the church because that's where a place of safety. But he made a choice without listening to what God was saying. And we've all got choices to make. You know, there's lots of things. A famous verse I often quote, and I love it. The thief comes to kill, steal, you should be able to know this one off by, and destroy. But Jesus, I've come back, you may have life, and life to the full. He didn't come just to give the ticket to heaven. He came to make you amazing, awesome. We're no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. We sing that often. But do we really know what it means? Because we live our lives like we're still under slavery. We live our lives saying, you know, I'm in bondage. I had to smile this morning at this church. Somebody stood up and says, the chains that have bound me for so many years, Jesus is slowly breaking them off me. Now, I know what they're saying. But I read the Bible that says Jesus has already broken all the chains. And I told them that. And I said, I believe in a Jesus that's done everything on the cross. He's got the healing power there, the deliverance power there. He can set us free. He's broke every chain. It's up to us. And yet, when we come to Jesus with our chains and he goes, we get saved, he breaks the chains. And then we're picking up going, oh, it's breaking me chains. No, he's broke the chains. He's broke the addictions. He's broke everything in our lives that's of the devil and set us free. It's like, woohoo, get excited. Let's go for it. But some people make a choice because if I go for it, if I really go for it, I'll embarrass myself. Worse than that, I'll embarrass the wife. Worse than that, I'll embarrass the kids. I've never heard of a wife complaining because her husband were on fire for Jesus. I've heard many ladies mention about the fact that their husbands were, I'll put the word not. That's not often what we use. Not on fire for God. They want them to be. Jesus wants us to have a... Everything the Bible points to Jesus. In fact, in Acts it says, everything, He is the one that all the prophets testify about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. One of the reasons why we make bad choices is sometimes because we know we've sinned. Yet our sins are forgiven. Being cleansed, cleaned, washed, whichever terminology you want to use. And knowing that we've got a loving Father that we can come to at any time. Knowing that his arms are open to us, that he loves us, that he's not there to beat us. He's there to come before him and, yes, say sorry for our sins, to repent of our sins, accepting the forgiveness that has gone. And Jesus says, choose life. You see, I don't know what's going to happen with Brexit, and really, it'll be what it is. I have no choice in that. But you have a choice and I have a choice what I do with my life and your life. What you choose to do. Do I choose to shine Jesus, or do I choose to hide him away? Do I choose to be the man of God that I've been created to be, or do I choose to be something beige? And if you've been here long enough, beige is not a colour I like. Peach is a fruit. It's not a colour. It's a fruit, like an orange. Okay? Girls are into millions of colours. Men, we're still in 16-bit colours from Windows 3.1. We just don't get past that. But God wants us to shine and to be amazing. But the devil wants to kill and destroy, tear down. Why is it? And I ask this of myself. I look in the mirror and say, Johnny, why is it? Why do we take the stupid choice? Why? Even if the stupid choice is on fire, we still get the stupid choice. I know some people, if you set the stick, the wrong end of the stick on fire, they'll still take it. Some people are just like that. But sometimes, why is it when we know that we know that we know what we should do, yet we're stuck? We take the wrong choices. See, sometimes we forget who we are in Christ. We forget that we're already set free and delivered. We forget that God has done amazing things for us. And we think for some reason we've got to earn our way into the kingdom of God. But Jesus had reminded us that there's nothing you can do that will make him love you anymore. Nothing good you can do that will make him love you. But then again, there's nothing bad that you could do, sin that you could do, that will make him turn his back on you. Romans 8 talks about that. You see, people often talk about the bad we do and the good we do. But I'm constantly reminded and remind people that heaven and hell is not about sin, which gets some theologians in a bit of a twist straight away. It's not about sin. It's about a choice, one choice. That's it, one choice. Bible says, choose life. Jesus says, choose me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, heaven and hell is not about how much sin you've done or not done. It's whether or not you chose Jesus or you rejected Jesus. And after that, that's it. It's sorted. It's heaven or hell. That's dealt with. After that, it's choice of living. Day by day, making wise choices. See, people think if you sin and you sin and you sin and you keep on sinning, you keep on sinning, yes, you're going to have consequences for that sin. But you could be the worst of sinners and choose Jesus and get to heaven. Well, not much, but you get there. But you could be the best. But I mean, you could almost be a smidgen off as good as Mother Teresa and not accept Jesus, and not accept means you reject him and still go to hell. I don't know if Mother Teresa was the perfect. I mean, she's a good woman. I believe she was saved. I think she's amazing. And what I see, might be other people who might say it's better, but everyone's heard of Mother Teresa. You can't really say certain other people, can you? If I said you're as good as Margaret Thatcher, I might get stoned. You know what I mean? So we won't go there. You know what I mean? But it doesn't matter how good you are. If you don't accept Jesus, it doesn't matter. The Bible says choose life. In the 80s, if anybody can ever remember the 80s, most of us probably could, there used to be a band and they had T-shirts saying choose life. The guy who sang them songs is now dead. He didn't choose life, he chose his own way. But Jesus says choose life. But not just life to exist, life to the max. life to the fullness, to everything. There's a great psalm, and if you've been here long enough, you'll know I've made it loads of times. Psalm 103. It starts off with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and in my innermost being, praise, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." The Bible is full of do not forget. It's also full of do not fears. Don't forget that we've had all our sins forgiven, that we've had all our diseases healed, that we've been redeemed our life from a pit, and he's also crowned us in steadfast love and mercy, and he satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Now, I don't know what it actually means by your youth being renewed by like an eagle's, but it sounds pretty good. And if you read other parts of the Bible, it says you'll run and be off. Don't say you'll be aching and falling to bits. It said you're going for Jesus. That's what I like about Abraham. Have you ever considered Abraham? He's 90. And God says, you know what? You're going to have a kid. And he says, my body's dead. And so's my wife's. At 99, he said, by this time next year, you're going to have a kid. So something must have happened. He got rejuvenated. Some people believe that he actually got younger. And his wife, I mean, she's 90, and people are fighting over her because they fancied her. Now, I'm not being funny, but I don't know many 90-year-olds that over a king would go, "Oh, she's all right." That's the Hebrew, okay? There isn't. So something must have happened in her life that she was renewed. Her youth was renewed. I don't know, like the eagle. I don't know, be like claws, maybe. But we don't know. But what I do know is that God wants to energize us. And sometimes on the outside, we're not as fast as what we once were. But on the inside, you can be a steam engine. I was trying to modernize that one. You could be one of these bullet trains, couldn't you? Gone, you know what I mean? You could be a power source on the inside. See, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is living in you. And if you really actually think about that, that means at your fingertips and out of your mouth can come prophetic words where you can lay hands on people and see things happen. If you'd only speak it out and do something about it. God's immense inside of us, and he's just wanting to power us up. Guys, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, "Choose life." So really he's saying, "Choose me." That's Jesus. Choose Jesus. See, we need to keep looking forwards. In Hebrews 11, it says, "Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," and I often envisage that as people that's gone before us. "Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us." Now, that don't mean bad things. That can be sometimes good things, but making wise choices. And the sin that so easily ensnares us and tangles us up and slows us down. And let us run with perseverance. It doesn't say let us stroll and walk. It says let us run with perseverance. The race marked before us. And that might be different for everyone, but we're generally going in the same direction. And let us run the race before us. And I forgot the next bit. "Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run." Fix our eyes, that's it, upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. This is live TV. The author and perfecter of our faith. Who for the joy set before him. I've often wondered what that means. And I believe by faith, even Jesus, by faith, because it's in context of faith. He saw us by faith and joy. You know, smack them nails in these hands because I've got a joy inside me because I'm seeing Johnny in 2,000 years preaching. I see Ruth and there's other people. I see those people there. But I also think there's a sadness because there's people who get saved who once were on fire for Jesus and somehow through choices made, not bad choices, but not good choices. The light's gone down, not out. You see, a farmer plants seeds in a field not for this year, but for next. He sows into the ground in faith for an harvest to come. And with the principle of sowing and reaping in the Bible. And we need to know that sometimes we sow seeds, not for today, but for tomorrow, next month, next year. But we've just got to keep on sowing so we see an harvest. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And now he's sat down at the right hand of the Father. And then it says, consider him who put up with all that from sinful men so that you do not lose heart. Guys, there's going to come times in our life where we want to choose. Everything inside us says, choose to run. Choose fear. Choose to get out of here. Choose to go. And yet Jesus is standing there with you going, keep going, mate. Just keep going, son. Just keep going, daughter. Just keep going. And everything inside is trying to choose to run. But we're no longer a slave to fear. Because God's not given us a spirit of fear. But of power, love, and a sound mind. Or self-discipline in other versions. Self-discipline is day by day, little by little, making choices. I asked a question a while ago. How do you get to do 100 press-ups? By starting doing one, and then two. You don't start by trying to do 100, it'll kill you. But by making a choice each day to do at least one, and then after a while do one more, and then after a while do another one more, and building it up steadily, steadily, and then you'll get to 100. How do you get to know the Word of God? Just by reading it a little bit day by day. How do you eat a huge cake? One slice at a time. We'll keep off cake. A little bit at a time. How do you get to know Jesus better? One conversation at a time. I want to encourage you to go after God for everything. As we approach this time where we're going to be doing a purpose-driven life, we're going to go through the books together, we're going to be in small groups, and I'm going to speak about it. But then after that, we're still going to continue a journey together. And this is a start of something, of making wise choices day by day. I've got a friend of mine who's having trouble with one of their kids. But their kid's 15. And he's trying to sort things out. They should have made wise choices about when they were 5 and 6 and 7. And I'm not criticising, and I won't criticise his parenting skills, but I do often say to him, you should have sorted this out back then. And we, as people, we shouldn't wait for the trouble to happen before we go before God in prayer. Jesus spent time in prayer, and then the trouble came, and he walked through it. Often, believers hit the trouble, then go to prayer and wonder why the struggle. Because Jesus did it the other way around. When God put Adam in the garden, he said, have a day off, rest, and then go to work. Most people rest because they've had an hard week at work, when in reality, God's economy is you have a rest to go to work. Most people rest because they've been at work. It's different. So Jesus prayed, and then he walked into situations and handled them quite well. So when you're not in trouble, on that rare moment, when there's no trials in your life, keep in prayer. Keep in the Word. And then the next trouble happens, you'll find out it's easier. It's easier. And I'm not being negative pronouncing you're going to hit trouble. You're going to hit trouble. And sometimes it's not even your choice. It's somebody else's choice. And you just get caught up in it. So be men and women of courage. Make wise choices. Swallow the bullet now instead of trying to put it off for another day. Make good choices. If you don't know what choices make, talk to some people who you really trust, who are further down the line than you in your walk with God. You know, if somebody has been divorced 10 times, you don't ask them for marriage guidance, do you? Yeah, the person who's been married for 50 years almost, you think they've got a boring life. Well, they stayed together. Just a thought. And I'm not having to go a divorce or anything like that. I'm just, makes a thought, don't it? So let me pray for you guys. Then we'll have a cup of tea. And if you have any questions, our theologians are on the front row here, so ask any of these four. Any hard questions, Andy's there, so that's okay. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are so amazing, that you are just so great. And that, Lord, we just want to praise your name and, Lord, bless your holy name. Lord, we thank you for all that you did on the cross, and we just thank you that in any problems and situation, we can come before you and we can just give them over to you and cast our burdens upon you. Lord, in you, we don't have to worry. In you, Lord, we don't have to strive, because you are an awesome God who's faithful, who stands on your word, and you can, Lord, you always are faithful to your word. Lord, help us to trust you day by day. Help us to keep going for you. And let us make good choices according to your word. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.